Well, I feel like I've looked up every word in this passage in the Greek, at least a lot of words. I've read about what the disciples were expecting in Jesus' coming kingdom and why they were arguing over their positions in it. I've read commentaries about what Jesus must have meant when he conferred on them a kingdom where they'd sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. It's all interesting, but distracting from the main message, which is about servanthood. Servanthood is what the passage is about, and Jesus calls us to servanthood. And I feel totally inadequate to preach on it. I'm learning about it, I'm practicing at it, I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I'm lousy at it. What on earth do I have to say about it? Jesus has said it all. And more importantly, he set an example that we strive to follow. As Paul says in Philippians, in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He died for us. He was tortured for us. He gave us his life, the ultimate in servanthood. So, as I said, I feel inadequate. But the worship committee assigned this to me, and I have to assume this is from God. And so I feel like I have a few observations I can share. The first is that we're not naturally servants. We're naturally self-centered. We want to serve ourselves and our own interests. In this, we're just like the disciples. Jesus had been looking forward to this Passover meal with his disciples. It was his last meal, his last chance to fellowship with them before he's tried, tortured, crucified. After this meal, they'll go out to the Mount of Olives. He'll be betrayed, and his ordeal will begin. He knows what's ahead of him. This meal will be his last chance to teach his disciples, and you would think a chance to receive comfort, affection, and support from his closest friends. But what do we see? The disciples are arguing among themselves about which of them was considered to be the greatest. They're not thinking about how Jesus must be feeling. Jesus had told them previously that he'd be betrayed and killed. You can find it in the three other Gospels. But they never seemed to get it. They didn't really listen. Probably because the traditional understanding at that time was that Messiah would throw off Russian oppression and establish a powerful earthly kingdom. They heard, but they didn't listen when Jesus told them differently. They're not thinking about what he has to go through. Don't they seem incredibly self-centered? I find it interesting that two other gospel writers, John and Mark, also tell about this argument among the disciples. In fact, in Luke's gospel, this is the second time they're arguing about this. The first time you'll find in chapter 9. I find it interesting that the writers are so honest about themselves. Raw competition and self-advancement, and they tell us about it. Most of us aren't so open about our selfishness, even when it's from the past. Yet we have plenty of behaviors to confess, ignoring other people's needs, promoting ourselves. It might be our hardy party neighbor who leaves trash all over his yard, has foul language, who we ignore when he seems to be ill and might need someone to drop in on him. Maybe we just don't want to listen to our African-American brothers and sisters who live with discrimination and too often related violence. Paul and I are blessed to have a friend living with us who happens to be African-American. He grew up in the South. He still has a lump on the top of his head from being hit by a policeman years ago just for questioning why they were stopping him and searching him. We've tried to encourage him to take walks in our wonderful trail system to enjoy God's creation. He says he wouldn't dream of walking in deserted areas where someone could assault him and there'd be no witnesses. Violence against African Americans was just a given for much of his life, and it's hard for him to think differently. That hasn't been my experience. I generally trust people. Institutions of power have generally benefited me and my family. Police are my friends. Why wasn't I hearing this earlier? I needed to listen more. And then when we do serve others, we want recognition. Maybe we win the Volunteer of the Year Award, get our name in the paper. Perhaps we simply expect to receive a thank you note for a gift. Do people notice how much we do for them? Do our children appreciate the sacrifices we make for them? This kind of thinking is so natural. It's very difficult to always think of others above myself and not to expect recognition for what I do. And then when I think I'm serving others without a thought for myself, that thought of me comes sneaking back in. How natural it was for these disciples. They were just being open about how any of us might be thinking but not admitting. And it would have been expected in their culture, and in different ways, it's expected in ours. A second observation is that God's Holy Spirit can enable me to serve even though my own nature fights against it. The disciples seemed hopeless, so self-centered and insensitive to others' needs. But Jesus knows the future for them. And thus he tells them they'll be eating and drinking at his table, which is symbolic language for saying they'll be participating in the joy that is experienced from service to others. How can that be if they're so self-centered? He knows the resurrection is coming, and after that, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. They'll begin to understand what he's telling them, and they'll be enabled by the Holy Spirit to change their behavior. And we, who are just as hopeless, can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to change our behavior and the ways we listen and think of others. When I ask God to provide me with opportunities, boy, does he ever. And it often provides a joy that makes me feel like I'm feasting at his table. A couple of months ago, I was praying, telling God I felt I needed to be sharing more of what I have in a very comfortable life. It wasn't but a week later we got a phone call from Enoch Porter, who's part of a ministry to foreign UAF students, asking if there'd be a way for us to house an international graduate student who couldn't go home for the summer because of the coronavirus. and he couldn't afford to rent a room on campus. We have been so blessed to have him. We've had fun, we've learned a lot about a different life in a different country, a different culture. Best of all, we've been able to share our faith. And again, we feel like we're feasting with Jesus at his spread. My third observation is that just as Jesus provides us with an example, so also do our fellow Christians. We need each other. If you want to follow Jesus, you need a church body, a fellowship of others who are following Jesus, so that you have examples to follow and friends who will encourage you and even challenge you. The servanthood I see among my fellow church members inspires me and provides examples I try to follow. The love I experience from others in this church shows me how to love. We're living examples to one another. I see those who are handing out food boxes during the pandemic and wonder if I can be serving like that. When I've asked somebody to help with committee work or on some project, so often they say yes, even when I know they're way too busy. I often see Glenn Hackney with his little yellow truck picking up trash by the side of the road. One time I stopped and asked him if he found it discouraging to see more trash in areas he had recently cleaned up. His answer was one that I always try to remember for myself. Jesus was a servant. When Paul had open heart surgery to fix a valve in his heart, lots of people on our prayer chain took the time to pray for him. What an encouragement that was. How grateful we were for the results. And what an example that was for us. When someone has a need that I could fill, but I would just as leave ignore, I think of those examples. They remind me that this is how I follow Jesus. Finally, Jesus specifically calls Christian leaders to servanthood. I know lots of people who would say, oh, that's not me. I'm a follower. I'm a behind-the-scenes person. You behind-the-scenes persons are leaders. You're setting examples. You don't see it because in the world's culture, leadership is about position and power. But Jesus rejects that notion of leadership. He washes feet. He submits to death on a cross. The most important form of leadership each one of us is called to is to lead our children, our family, our friends, our acquaintances to Christ. And there's no more effective way to do that than by serving people. Not out of obligation, that leads to legalism, which no one appreciates. We do it out of love. The highest two commands are to love the Lord your God and to love our neighbor, which Jesus says are one and the same. If you love people, you'll serve them, not by letting them walk all over you, but trying to meet their true needs. All people have needs that by investing a little time to listen, we can discover. However, the greatest need of all people is for a relationship with God, which we can only have by knowing Jesus and by receiving the relationship with God that he provides for us. So when we serve others, we do so with our hand in God's hand, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's an opportunity to show God's love. It's true leadership, God's kind of leadership, through servanthood. Lord, we come to you so broken, so self-centered. We want to follow you. We want to be the servants you call us to, but we're lousy at it. We ask, Lord, that you empower us. Father, send your Holy Spirit to renew us. Renew our love of you and of our neighbor, and enable us to serve in ways that make people want to come and follow you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing song. The words are going to be up here for this song.